I'm good now. Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, for opening us up this morning with that beautiful song and reminder of God's vision, be thou my vision, and us adopting that vision in our lives. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm really glad to welcome each of you to this time of worship this morning. We are gathered together today, even if we are physically distant from each other, we are gathered together spiritually in this virtual environment to worship God, to remember who we are, and to remember who we belong to. We belong to God, we belong to one another, and to creation. And so we are awakening to this new day, and really, I am really glad to be in this space with you and to be worshiping with you today. I want to give a special welcome to all of you who are visiting. If you are here for the first time and joining us, thank you for joining us. And if you would like to introduce yourself, you can do that via the chat feature. You can share your name, or if you would like to connect with me individually, you can email me at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and know that you're here visiting with us today. I also want to give a welcome, or at least just a recognition of our guest preacher. She really doesn't need a welcome exactly. She's a member of this church, a new member actually, just joined. Joanna Bowen is going to be preaching for us today. And I'm so grateful for Joanna's discipleship, for her wisdom, for her work in this world. And we are really excited to hear from her and from her this morning, and also give thanks for her participation in this sermon series. And we're in a sermon series this through October and into November on discipleship, thinking about what it means to follow Jesus in this time and to reject slaveholder religion, to follow the Jesus that we know, Christianity of Christ, as Frederick Douglass would call it. So I'm really glad for Joanna's wisdom and her adding her voice to this series. So welcome and thank you, Joanna. Also want to lift up that October is Stewardship Month. It's an exciting month, not only because it's my birthday month, but also because it's stewardship. And stewardship is a great time, a great season for us to be thinking and reflecting on what it means for us, or what gifts do we have to give to the community, to give to this community at TAB. One of the things we remember as a church is that we are a faith community, and so we're not called to do anything alone. We are called to do the work of resistance, the work of love, the work of discipleship as a community together. And so I would encourage each of us to be thinking about the particular gifts, the desires you have to contribute, because all of our gifts are important and are valuable, and we need you. We need your gifts. We need your voice. So please consider during this month what you would like to contribute. And there are a couple ways to do that. If you would like to make a pledge, a financial pledge, you can send us that pledge to an email address that is on in the chat feature, tabstewardship@gmail.com. So if you want to give a financial commitment, you can do that. But equally important, maybe even more important, is that you fill out a time and talent form. If you could do that, we're doing this all online this year, and we have a time and talent form that goes through all of the different roles and things that we would love to, participation and help in doing. So you can fill out that form. Hopefully try to do it this week. We would love to hear from you and get that information in. So those are our announcements to get today, and I want to invite us now to calm our hearts, to center ourselves as we come into this time of worship, and let us call ourselves now to worship.
Let us join in reading the call to worship responsively. We gather today seeking the hope that Christ gives us.
We gather in spite of the many doubts within us.
We gather longing to find the patience, peace, and courage that God's Spirit gives to us.
Come, Christ Jesus, bless us, we pray, with hope, patience, peace, and courage. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing some songs of worship together this morning, starting with Lord, I Need You, which always makes me think of our friend Marquise, who brought this song to us and sang this for us almost 2 years ago. So let's sing together. Confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Amen. This next song from Sweet Honey in the Rock is one that I learned in college, and I think about it in this time, especially when there are so many unknowns, so many things that we don't know the answer to and can't quite see ahead. This song always comes to me as one that lets us know that it is okay to not know and that we will make it through.
Going, heaven knows where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going, but we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. 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 Oh yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you call us together as your people, transforming us through your love. Open our hearts so that we may love generously. Clear our vision so that we may see your grace. Strengthen our hands so that we are able to serve others. Transform our spirits as we gather to worship you and praise your name. Amen. And now we all join together in the prayer of confession as we pray. Caring God, you call us to be your people, to live in community, to care for one another. Instead of working to sustain community, we follow our own desires. Instead of trusting you, we think we can do it all alone. We ask that you forgive our neglect of others. We pray that you will lead us to care for our communities. We pray that you help us to remember to depend on your love as we go out to share the good news of the gospel. Hear these words of assurance. God hears our words and stands beside us, offering words of forgiveness. We are God's people here on this earth today. We are bound in community through God's love. Praise be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Jesus comes offering us the gift of peace, and we receive that peace from Jesus, and we want to share that peace with one another. So friends, let us go now to gallery view, if you can, on your screen, and take a minute to greet one another with signs of Christ's peace. May the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And with you. Peace to you, everyone.
Peace. You should be able, or at least many of you maybe can unmute. We will
okay. On that.
Take a minute to unmute.
Morning.
Hi. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. Hello, Maine.
Peace,
Scott. Oh,
peace.
Katie.
Peace to you.
Katie Day.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Sarda.
Michelle and Amanda.
And Jennifer.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Maya.
Peace to you, Carly.
Peace to you. And peace to you, Pax.
Peace to you.
And Emmett, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Emmett.
Emmett.
Hey, Elizabeth and Ray.
Everybody.
Hi, Mike Ealing.
Hello. I'm off video.
Peace to you, Arda.
Otherwise, I'm just on now because I'm up in bed still.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Maya.
God, he is God.
Welcome, Catherine Pothig.
Oh, hey.
Glad you're here.
Catherine.
Beasley.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey, Tina. Antonio.
Hi.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hello, Mike Ealing.
There's Mike.
Hello.
I see you, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Deb.
Everybody's showing off their books.
Oh. Hello, Iowa.
Well, but you did that okay.
That's
thank you.
Now is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart to come closer and to see what someone has to share with us for children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, come and see. I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, everyone, and especially to the young ones. My name is Nicole, and this is my kiddo, Elliot. And today we wanted to share a story with you. You want to hold up the front of the book?
It's called
The President
of the Jungle.
So you kiddos may have been hearing that we have an election coming up in our country. And you may have be hearing a lot of feelings from grownups about that election. So we wanted to share a story we've been reading to try and understand a little bit about what's going on. Voting is a super important thing for us as citizens and for us as Christians. And actually, one of my beloved seminary professors is with us today. Katie Day talked so much about how important it is for us to be involved in politics as Christians. So that's true for kiddos and families and for all of us. It's a way for us to really share what we care about and to make change. So I am going to share my screen. I took pictures of this book as a way for us to read it together. So this is called The President of the Jungle. And it's by all these awesome people. Andre Rodriguez, Larissa Ribeiro, Paula Desagodo, Pedro Marcun. And if I messed up those words, please forgive me. Okay, here we go. It starts with, on this page, this guy is saying, hey, what happened to our river? Lion wanted a swimming pool. So because he was king of the jungle, he rerouted the river to flow into his front yard. Now he had his pool. The other animals were not happy. They missed their river. Lion had gone too far. Maybe he should not be king of the jungle anymore. And in this picture, you can see all these different animals saying things like, it's ridiculous, or Lion thinks only of himself, or we have no water. My children are thirsty. And someone's asking, what if we had a new leader? Oh, let's see if we can get it sharing again. There we go. The animals decided to have a demonstration. They marched to Lion's swimming pool to protest. And you can see some of the signs here, hashtag Occupy the Jungle. People are saying water is for everyone and this king needs to go. But Lion couldn't care less what they thought. So the animals decided it was time for a new leader. Someone says, no more kings. Someone says, let's be a democracy. Let's hold an election. Someone's saying, what's an election? In an election, anyone who wants to be the leader can become a candidate and put together a campaign. Each animal gets to vote for the leader. The candidate who gets the most votes becomes president. Everyone liked the idea, so they drew up the rules for the election. And you see posted on the tree are the rules for the election. One, we will hold an election every spring. Two, any animal can be a candidate. Three, each animal gets one vote. Four, votes are secret. Five, the candidates with the most votes wins. Six, candidates cannot trade gifts for votes. Seven, candidates cannot eat their opponents. Very important. Monkey, Sloth, and Snake were excited to become candidates. Lion didn't want to be left out, so he became a candidate too. Then the campaigns began. So now we can see their posters. Lion says, my beloved subjects, I descend from a long line of kings.
It was my cherished great-great-grandfather who expelled the smelly possums so the rest of us could live in peace. I provided jobs to the animals who diverted the water from the river to build my swimming pool. If something's not broken, do not fix it. For tradition, vote for Lion.
P.S. Lioness, it says.
It says Lioness is his VP. What does VP?
VP means vice president.
Yep, each of these guys has a VP running with them. So Monkey says, it's time for Lion to go. The king is sneaky and as slippery as a rotten banana peel. He said we could all swim in his pool, and now we can't. Under my leadership, everything will be different, and we will build burrows and homes for everyone. No more lies. Monkey for president. And now we see snakes.
Wait, go back.
You want to see who?
P.S.
VP or VP is Toucan.
Toucan.
Okay, now we got snake. I am a popular snake. I grew up in the jungle with all of you. I've crawled through burrows and nests getting to know you. We have faced the great drought together, and we have survived fires and hunters. You know I will be there for you. Vote for snake. VP is mouse in this case.
Yep.
That's kind of funny.
I know what he's going to do if he becomes president. He's like, eat the vice president.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, he is.
Okay, and here's Sloth's poster. Sloth says, my fellow animals, it's time to plan our future together. I want to hear from all of you. And please don't judge me by my name. I am not lazy. I don't rush because good government does not happen overnight. With patience, we will make the jungle better for everyone. Vote for Sloth. Each candidate got busy to convince the voters why they would be the best leader. They went on TV, took selfies with voters, handed out pamphlets, discussed the issues. They held rallies. Some said wild things about the other candidates. They put up posters and discussed more issues. They had debates to talk about their ideas. Someone says, Snake, how would you solve the bird traffic jams? They say, easy, every bird will be assigned a time to fly. And they have all these different conversations and debates. And sometimes they just argued. One saying, Snake is venomous, or Lion is selfish. And then Sloth is saying, hey, I didn't finish what I was saying. Finally, election day arrived. The animals lined up to cast their secret votes in the ballot box. Owl was in charge of counting the votes. Unfortunately, Lion got disqualified for violating rule number 6. He had been giving voters peanuts, so they'd choose him. So you see on that tree, Lion is disqualified. Whoop. Let's see. My screen just decided to do something crazy. Okay, I think we're back. Okay, when the votes were added up, the new president was announced. It was Elliot? Who is it?
Sloth.
It was Sloth. The animals all gathered to hear Sloth's victory speech. And Sloth said, in this election, I learned so much from everybody. We each have something to say and we all should listen. Lion wants to be recognized for all his work. Monkey wants us to have food and shelter. Snake and I agree we are stronger when we work together. The first thing I will do as president is create a team to help us make the jungle a great place for every animal. And that is the story of how Sloth became the jungle's first president. Of course, not everyone was happy with the election results, so it was a good thing that there would be another election next year. Sometimes we talk about lessons in stories. Is there any lesson you noticed in that story that you would want to share?
Yes. I noticed that, I think the reason that Sloth won was that he said, you don't have to go fast on things like that. All you need to do is go slow. And he said, eventually we'll have something for everybody. But all the other candidates were like, we'll do this immediately. You don't need to do it immediately.
You think that's part of why
you take it slow and cool.
So, kids, I hope if you have questions that come up from this story about this story or about elections, I hope that you can talk to your parents or grown-ups in your life. And I also want you to know I want you to know that your church family, all of us, are also people that you can talk to about important things. So find ways to ask those questions if you want to know what's going on, especially when there's a lot of strong feelings right now about the election. So let's pray. Elliot, will you repeat the words after I say them? Okay. Dear God.
Dear God.
When things are really important.
When things are really important.
And feel so big, they're bigger than us.
And feel so big, they're bigger than us.
Please draw close, God.
Please draw close, God.
And help us remember that more is possible.
And help us remember that more
is possible.
Is possible.
Amen.
Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Today, in relation to Joanna's sermon, I thought of the hymn, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant," which gives us some ideas of how to be community together. As we go through difficult times. So I invite you to think of each of these images and imagine them in our community and how you can support the work of that community.
That song was a perfect introduction to this scripture reading for today from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. We're reading the whole chapter. Here are Paul's words. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me? All right. My name is Joanna, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to preach today, even if it's on Zoom instead of being together in person. Thank you to Pastor Katie for allowing me this opportunity to reflect and share with you. Last year when I preached, I expressed that I'm not a theologian. I'm still not. That hasn't changed. But I'm excited to wrestle with the scripture this morning and to reflect on pieces of my own story in the hopes that the Spirit might allow something to resonate within you. Some of you who know a little bit about me may know that as a newly minted college graduate, I participated in a full-time volunteer program. I'm excited to share some of this story with you today. Before I do, I want to recognize my own privilege in being able to have had this opportunity. I was able to spend 10 months where I could survive without drawing a salary. I also know that volunteering, particularly volunteering within a Christian context, can often be problematic in terms of issues around race and privilege and culture. And while I'm unable to unpack all of these issues fully today, I wanted to at least acknowledge that they're there and that they exist. Sometimes when I tell people that I volunteered in California, they conjure up images of me working for a few hours a day and then spending the rest of my time lounging on the beach. However, the reality was quite a bit different. For 10 months, I was one of 6 volunteers living in San Diego, California. Assigned to serve full-time at a local high school, I shared everything with the 5 strangers with whom I was living. Everything. An Astro van, a budget, dinner every evening. The premise of the program, sponsored by a Catholic organization, was that the 6 of us spent our days serving throughout the city, but the central piece of our experience was cultivating an intentional community living environment. We didn't draw a salary, but instead had our living expenses covered by the program. It was up to us to figure out how we were going to spend our collective grocery money each month, carpool to our service sites, handle the chores around the house, and spend our time together. Additionally, we were expected to come together for prayer and worship. Twice a week, we would gather in the living room of our house and light a prayer candle. One of us would take the lead, guiding the others through the prayer of our choice. Some weeks we read scripture, other weeks we used music, did guided meditations, or talked about social justice. On Sundays, we went to Catholic Mass together. Looking back on this experience over a decade later, it would be easy to share a romantic retelling of this time in my life. But if I did that, we'd lose the humanity in the story. The reality was that for about 4 or 5 of the 10 months together, things were really hard. There were some days that I would come home from my service site and linger for a few extra minutes in the driveway because I wasn't quite ready to enter the chaos. All 6 of us were strong personalities. We often thought that our individual way was the right way. We were competitive. We wanted to feel important and valued. We debated everything and each other constantly. We had conflicting views about how we thought we were supposed to collectively live out this experience. Many of these values made us successful college students. They would be praised in a traditional workforce. Instead, they served as stumbling blocks as we tried to cultivate an intentional community life together. When I read Romans 12 to prepare for this sermon, I deeply resonated with the historical context of the text. Paul is writing this letter to respond to the pressures he's feeling to conform to the way of life that others are living. The Romans are outside of their social circle. They are rejecting previous ways of worshiping and living. They are seeking ways to be disciples of Christ and exploring the ways in which this sets them apart. Paul is realizing they can't be disciples alone, that their power is going to be in joining together and embracing a call to be in the world, but not of it. I signed on to a year of intentional community living for many of the reasons that Paul writes about. Yes, I felt pressure to take a traditional path after graduation. But I also felt a deep desire to live out my faith in a way that would be foundational to my adult life. My most robust experiences of God had always come to me in community. What I was learning was, in fact, discipleship was community. And it wasn't just a sing around the campfire and hold hands type of community, but a radical expression of hospitality, inclusion, and authenticity. So this is how I found myself with 5 strangers in California, squabbling over what kind of milk to buy in the grocery store. Slowly, though, with effort, conversation, and guidance, things started to change for the better. It was almost as if we were using Paul's words to the Romans as our guide. We stopped thinking so highly of our individual selves. We started to recognize each other's gifts, particularly the ones we ourselves did not hold. With time, we became more comfortable in our roles at our service sites, stepping wholeheartedly into our work. But most importantly, we started to realize that we belonged to one another. Quietly, a sea change took place in our community. Our conversations were deeper, our time together less forced, our prayers more focused. The ordinary became extraordinary, and then it became sacred. I expected my most profound experiences of God to come to me while seated in a pew or around a prayer candle, or maybe even in service to others. There were times that did happen, but most of the time, I felt most broken open to God's love was in the everyday moments. Lingering around the dining room table long after our meals were finished, washing the dishes together, our frenetic morning and afternoon carpools, waiting for hours to cross back into the US from Mexico, turning off the lights and locking the house up for the night. God was seeping into our lives and days in new ways, filling the spaces and occupying the mundane. The landscape of our lives together transformed from an inward focus to an exterior one. Paul predicts this in Romans 12, telling us that once we've figured out how to transform our relationships and community, we can better focus our efforts on engaging authentically with others. We then have the capacity to help others, to practice radical hospitality, and to seek compassion. What I find most interesting, though, from my lived experience and from Paul's writing, is that prayer serves as the bridge. He says, "Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble, and devote yourself to prayer." This can only happen after we've stepped out of our individuality and committed to one another. On our path to discipleship, after we seek community, we must embrace sacredness in that shared space so that our work is inclusive, not exclusionary. Over the last 7 months, I've spent a lot of time thinking about community. Specifically, what does community mean in the midst of a global pandemic? In one regard, community has moved from a radical idea to something central to our survival. As we collectively await a vaccine, we must make decisions based not on our own individual desires, but on what is best for the common good. We are being called to think of others' needs before our own, and to make sacrifices to protect the most vulnerable among us. This, of course, is no easy task. I'm sure we've all experienced tension during this time, where someone in our lives has made a decision that we might personally deem unsafe or negligent. Perhaps we've struggled to consider the ripple effect it might have on our own safety or the safety of others. In a strange way, we've never been more aware of our interconnectedness as humans. But yet, on the other hand, we're physically distanced from one another in a way that likely most of us have never been in our entire lives. Since March, I've also spent time pondering about what community means when we can't physically be together. Nearly every significant gathering I take part in now is through a screen and devoid of human face-to-face interaction. The apex of this took place in the spring, where for 8 weeks, the only physical contact I had with another human was when I accidentally brushed hands with a cashier after a transaction. I attend meetings and church and even birthday parties on Zoom. I have viewed live streams of multiple funerals. Next week, I'll attend my first virtual work conference. In the beginning, there was sort of a novelty to video chatting for everything. I talked with my friends all over the country who I don't normally get to connect with regularly. I relished in the time I had back, not having to fight traffic or spend hours on the train commuting each day. But slowly, the novelty wore off. The problem is that I'd enjoy whatever call I was on, feeling connected and engaged. But then it would end abruptly, and I'd be alone again, just me and my computer. Video chatting has also removed any unstructured communication. Every call has a purpose. No longer is there an opportunity to have an interesting conversation with someone when you bump into them in the hallway, or to follow up easily about a question that somebody posed to the group earlier. There's just no stopping and chatting. We're not washing dishes together. We're not lingering after we finished our coffee hour snacks. We're in our homes on our computers. The question then becomes, how in the world do we find sacredness in community when our community feels so different? And more specifically, as a church, how do we continue to cultivate community despite our distance? It would be very easy to just write this year off and pretend it didn't happen. Nothing feels sacred right now. Pandemic aside, collectively, the country is feeling the weight of the repercussions of hundreds of years of individualism. The environment is being destroyed. Black and brown people are still being murdered for simply existing. The upcoming election is more uncertain than ever. We are on the precipice of a seismic shift in the Supreme Court, with many of us poised to lose rights. I don't have a complete answer about how we find sacredness and community in this mess. However, I do know that we can't turn away. We can't just say that's how 2020 is. This is a terrible year. That response is too easy. And most significantly, it doesn't ask us to do anything to change our own ways. The reality is that we were made for this moment. We were created so that our lives on this earth would intersect with this particularly challenging time in history. Don't get me wrong. If I had my choice, this might not be what I would have picked. It's also not my intention to minimize the losses or hardships that folks have faced, but we are here right now, living and being. We can close our eyes and hope this all passes quickly, or we can continue to work to build the kingdom of God in new ways. How do we begin? Again, we can turn to Paul's example of discipleship. Paul didn't know what was waiting for him when he moved westward. Instead, he focused on creating transformative spaces where the love of God and the love of others would create the sacred out of the worldly. And he did this so that the community of disciples would strive to show radical compassion and live authentically in their world. So let's keep doing it. Let's take the first step. Let's work together to make this space a place where each of us can love God and love each other freely. We did all get up this morning and log on to worship. We've collectively named this as important. For the last 7 months, we've reshaped our thinking about what worship and church means. We've adapted to the changing world. But what else? What comes next? How do we continue to deepen our worship as this reality continues? Perhaps what's more challenging is, how do we keep our community space sacred? How do we use prayer to build a bridge so that our community fixes its gaze outward? How are we authentic disciples of Christ in 2020? I'm not sure of the full answer, but let's explore individual gifts together. Let's hold on to what is good, and let's belong to one another, even if a screen is between us for now. Now is not the time to linger outside the chaos like I did so many years ago in the driveway of my volunteer house. Let's step into it. Let's embrace it. And let's find our new ordinary, and let's make it sacred together. Amen.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in
Good morning, Tab family. My name is Anna. I use she, her pronouns.
My name is Gina. I use Gina, Gina's as my pronouns.
We are married.
To each other.
To each other. And we live in Iowa. But first, before, I want to thank Joel, Anna, for that wonderful sermon, and happy 40th birthday to Katie. I had to do shout outs first. And this is truly a great turning, this period in our lives, in our country's life, in the world. So we used to live in New Jersey. Gina is in grad school in Princeton, and we were members of another church, of a UU church, and we left that church for multitude of reasons. And we're looking for a new community. And we had met Pastor Katie, Lucinda, and a couple of other members a year before. We had um, we decided to look for another church. As Lucinda said, they planted the seeds. Mm-hmm. And in February of 2019, we started coming to TAB and fell in love mm-hmm. with the community, fell in love with the folks who lead service and lead the church, and felt like we had found our community. I have so many notes, but do you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Recently, I was talking to a community organizer here in Iowa, and she asked me what I think of when I think of community. And I described a group of people who acknowledge their interdependence, know they need to each other, as Joanna put it, that we belong to one another. And not just the way you are interdependent in a community, supporting each other, but working specifically for a shared vision of what the world can and should be.
Yes.
And that overlap of interdependence and a shared vision and a commitment to work together, I think the whole time I was answering that question, I was picturing TAB.
Yeah. And that vision includes, you know, radical justice, inclusivity. So in December of 2019, before COVID, we decided to move back to Iowa. Gina's from Iowa. Antonio, our son, was born here, and it felt easy to move here. And I think about the story they read, it feels like we're immigrants because we're in a completely different world from the East Coast. But luckily, I mean, not that we wanted COVID to happen, but for us, we are grateful that we were able to stay connected to the TAB community in this way. So everybody's in their computer, and it doesn't matter that our computer is in Ames, Iowa. Mm-hmm.
I think that the specific virtual connection with TAB every Sunday carries me through for days. I think that I feel this warm in my heart, the strength of all of you in me for days after this connection.
Yeah. And for me, it inspired me to go to seminary, realizing that I have found my people, my home. God knows, hopefully it'll lead us back to the promised land, Philadelphia. But I have started seminary and I'm grateful for this community, for the work that it does and the support that it provides me specifically and our family.
And I think that it feels an honor. It feels a blessing to have the opportunity to support this community in all the ways we can, financially and with our
gifts
of all kinds. And I feel like every gift each of us in our family, even our son, brings is appreciated and is put to good use in the vision of the community and the world that there he is. As Tonio, would you like to say hello?
Hello. So these are the reasons we give to TAB.
And we're honored to do so.
Yes. Thank you.
Anna and Gina have said it so well. What else can we say about this time where we offer our gifts to God and to one another? So Joanna said, step into it, and let's do it now. By offering our gifts, we can give electronically by texting any amount to 84321, or go to our website, tabunited.com/contribute, and be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online. By text, include a tag like pledge, visitor, or other, along with your gifts, so we know how to direct it. Let us now share our gifts with one another as we give our resources and our commitment during this time of offering.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. Anywhere, Lord, anytime. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we offer our gifts, we offer ourselves, so that you can use us. Multiply these gifts. Increase the gifts that we each bring. Help us to build a better world as we face many, many challenges to come. We ask your blessings on both these gifts we present and on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Paul calls on disciples of Jesus to persevere in prayer, to persevere in prayer. And so this time now that we are entering is a time of prayer where we open up our hearts to God and to one another as we lift up our concerns and our joys and our testimonies. So if you are visiting or new to the service, we invite you to participate if you would like. In the chat feature on your screen, you can put in a prayer request if you'd like to share a joy, a struggle, or any other prayer concern before God and before us as the community. We will hold that with you and be praying with you. So please do that right now. We're going to open up our time. We then close by singing together. So I'm just going to allow a few minutes of quiet here, and please feel free to send in your prayer concerns, and I will read them. From Todd Kozer, I am asking for prayers again, as my minor medical procedure that was canceled has been rescheduled for this Wednesday at noon. Thank you, Todd. We will be praying for you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Anna and Gina, please pray for my brother-in-law, Sean Etheridge, who is recovering from health issues and about to be deployed. Thank you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Deb Ahrens, a joy. Today marks my 6th sober anniversary. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, I'm reaching out to voters this week. Prayers that I may be a help in this important time. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Alaska, please pray for my town, and county. We are about to go in the red for COVID cases, but schools and workplaces are reopening full time. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Catherine or Carrie Pothig. For my father, Richard Pothig's health, and for all those who are sick in any way during this COVID era who are isolated, and for the election that everyone who chooses to vote is able to do so and is counted. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Pax. I'm lifting up prayers for Sam Stefan and Jamil Adaman, who are in the process of moving from Philadelphia to Boise, Idaho. During their time at TAB, Sam often shared original folk songs on guitar. I will miss these dear friends. Please send prayers for their safety and for peace in this huge transition. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Deb Ahrens. Our friends Sam Stefan and Jamil Adaman will be selling their home in Philly and moving to Boise, Idaho on Tuesday. Prayers go with them on this new adventure and prayers to both their families. We love you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Emmett. Emmett, welcome and thank you for being here. I feel so blessed to be worshiping with you all this morning. As I navigate living in a new area away from friends and family, I ask for prayers that I'm able to build new relationship while in this virtual world. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for these prayers that have come in written to us. And thank you, all of you, for sharing. We will be lifting up these prayers and these names and situations in our hearts. And we also want to be lifting up the prayers that remain on our hearts that have not been spoken out loud. We remember that God hears us and knows us. And so if you're not able to express a prayer, but are just able to hold in silence names and situations and those things that are on your heart, know that God hears them and we are lifting them up with you. So as we do that and are mindful of this sacred time of sharing, we want to sing together this song of prayer. So let us sing.
Oh, mi Dios, oh, mi Dios, listen to your people, oh, mi Dios, oh, mi Dios, oh, mi Dios, listen to your people.
God, our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. We thank you for your blessing on us just on this day. We receive the gift of life and breath that you have given us and breathe in us and through us. We thank you for creating us in your image. One of the things we remember, oh God, in this moment and today is that we are best a reflection of you when we are in community. You are community, God, and you have created us for each other. We belong to each other and to creation. Help us never to lose sight of that, that we alone, I alone am not enough. I need you, I need others. We are connected and dependent on each other. And that is how you have created us, and that is what you have called good. So God, may we embrace that, and may we learn and live into deeper love and caring for one another and for your earth. God, we ask that you would step in to our struggle today. We ask that you would be especially close to those who are hurting, who are in need of your healing and your strength and your power. God, we ask that you would step into our struggle. We know that you are here. Help us to feel your presence and to continue to walk in faithfulness to you. God, you have heard all of the prayers that have been shared, prayers that include healing and companionship through transition and difficulty, prayers of joy for sobriety and for care and love. So all of these prayers we lift up to you, oh God, and we lift up also to you the silence and the silent prayers that are on our hearts that we did not share out loud. If the Lord's Prayer is new to you, you can pray in the version on the screen. If you know it by heart or in whatever language or version you know, let's pray this prayer together that Jesus taught us. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hi, this is Chris. I'm interjecting myself into the service for a minute, which Katie's not aware of. About a month ago, I got an email from our local UCC conference about marking an important denominational date. This being 2020, I got the date wrong. So as your vice moderator, I'd like to say a few words a week late for Pastor Appreciation Day and 3 days late for Pastor Katie's 40th birthday and mention a few things I appreciate about our pastor. Listening, empathy, positive energy, talking things through, vision, preaching, conviction, driving to the core of the issues, and what my mother used to call thoughtiness. Pastors are many things to many people. Your list will probably be different, so I invite you in the chat or through email to take a minute today and let her know what you appreciate. Thank you.
While you're typing in the chat, or as you're thinking of what you can share with Katie, let's sing our final closing song together. We are going. We don't know how or where or when, but we are going. Let's sing.
We are going. Heaven knows where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows
knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Keep saying that. Oh yeah, yeah. 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 Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, you got me. Chris, I thought you were going to say something totally different. Wow. That is really, thank you so much for your words, Chris, and for everyone who's sharing right now. I'm trying to keep it together here so I don't fall apart for the benediction. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be a part of this community and to be a part of all of you. And thank you for all your kind words. It's such a gift. I'm so grateful for Joanna sharing today. And I hope, I'd love if you can stay for a few minutes after the benediction to, if you have some reflections or just things that you would like to share, reflect further on, I'd love for us to spend just 10, 15 minutes reflecting together, because that's part of, I think, what we can do in this time where we're not able, you know, normally in a service, we would be leaving, but having conversations after the service. And so one of the ways we can do that is to just linger a little bit after and have some opportunity to share. So what a powerful word from Joanna. And I want to just leave us as we go, as we leave into this, into our lives, to keep her words before us. And one of the things that a few folks have mentioned is her words about creating a new ordinary and making it sacred together. So let us take those words, and as we go, remember that we belong to each other, we belong to God, we belong to creation. Thank you, Joanna, for sharing that with us and reminding us of that deep, deep truth about our lives. Let's go and serve God, one another, and our creation, our earth. Amen.